From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Chad Beter.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show about Windows internals and Microsoft internals.
We almost got the tagline.
And after 5 months,
I'm back.
Back
in black.
Barely remember how to do the tagline, but I have been absent. OWA.
yeah. So, well, you've been off busy doing stuff, making Windows Store apps better, right?
Store apps better and everything, making sure that just the experience across the board is good. And I've been a manager for a couple of months because my manager is on paternity leave. So acting manager for a couple of months while he's enjoying his new kid. And it's just been great. It's just been busy, getting Redstone out the door, getting stuff prepared for build. That was obviously recently.
Yeah.
And now it's just the last push to get the Anniversary Edition out the door.
Anniversary Edition is what they're calling it now, not Redstone, right?
Yeah,
Redstone's still the code name. Anniversary
Edition. Keep me busy and just making sure that everybody has the best experience and the best bugs and the best telemetry available to understand what the issues are.
Yeah, so Andrew's been busy. I've kind of been holding down the fort, doing some videos without him here, keeping the show going.
Been on the road a bit too.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool to see that you're out, you know, in your office and stuff.
Yeah, we did some little remote shoots. Hopefully we'll do some more of those. I was just talking to Seth about that. Maybe do some more get out and about Microsoft kind of shows coming up.
Spring weather definitely has hit around here.
The day we're taping today, it's supposed to hit not only the record for this date, but the record of all of April we are expected to break today. So,
but yeah, blue skies.
Yes,
because you know we're quite north in the Pacific Northwest. It has been a lot of rain, obviously. So everything's nice and grassy, and the trees are all colorful and stuff. So.
It's beautiful out. It's beautiful out, and we're in here in a dark enclosed studio. But that's how it goes.
We do that for you.
We don't mind.
All right, what are we going to talk about?
Well, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we had Jorge Novillo on the show talking about some power battery stuff, E3, energy estimation engine, and we looked at this part of powercfg.exe called SrumUtil. So go back and watch that. It's pretty cool. You want to get a real detailed analysis of
So the power team is actually part of my team.
Ah, okay.
It's part of Platform Health. So Platform Health has power, performance, and reliability. Reliability is crashes.
Yeah.
Performance is straight. Windows Performance Toolkit, right?
Exactly.
Boot performance and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And Power Team is all about energy drain and stuff like that. So
keeping that stuff.
I'm in the halls, and then Gove's just around the corner on the AppCompat team. So it's all very, very local to where I work. So,
there you go. Yeah. Well, so I thought since we talked about PowerCFG, at least one of the switches, the SrumUtil switch, maybe we ought to take a look at some of the other things you can do with it. Because really, it's kind of, I don't know how to describe it, and I hope they don't get mad at me for saying this, but PowerCFG kind of has a Frankenstein monster of a bunch of different functions sort of in one app.
Yeah. It's highly consolidated.
Highly consolidated. So it can do a lot of cool things, and I don't know if everybody's familiar with all the things it can do, but I thought, you know, we may not have time to go through everything, but maybe just look at a few of the other capabilities of PowerCFG.
So one of the facets of it is that, you know, it's the command line version of the GUI, right? The Power Options GUI and all that stuff. So which is probably what people are more familiar with, where you're down the bottom, you've got when you hit your battery.
Edit power plan.
Yeah.
Power and sleep, like these kinds of things here where you can change your advanced power settings and you can go in here and dig into this, right? So you can do a lot of this stuff through PowerCFG
as well.
And then
the drop down at the top is, you know, where the balance is your plans.
Like my current plan.
Your schemes that exist.
Exactly. So
presets.
Currently on my balance plan, and I've probably customized this. I set my display to 10-minute timeout or something instead of the default 5 or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I tend to not set the sleep. I tend to put it to never.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I've modified that or what the default was, but.
And the OEMs tend to do this. They tend to profile their boxes and work out what they can and can't do and try to set them appropriately to match their hardware.
Yeah. So you can go in as well in PowerCFG and see a lot of the same stuff. So if you kind of run just with the slash question mark, you get a big list of switches here. So you can kind of get a feel for what it can do. But like this power CFG slash query will basically list out all the power settings that
all those have. Checkbox settings.
All those checkbox settings, like, you know, can I, you know, when does my hard disk spin down, and you know, all that sort of stuff.
I saw one right at the top that I think might be good. So power CFG slash list.
Yeah.
Which is just going to be, I think.
This
the
just
schemes.
Lists the schemes, right?
Yeah.
And then you can, I think there's even maybe, no. But no. For query.
There's some more options you can
there's
do.
There's even like a query, you can specify particular schemes that you want to hone in on.
This kind of reminds me of BCD edit.
Yeah.
So where a lot of the configurations come down to a GUID.
Yes.
And once you've found out what the friendly name to the GUID is, after that point you tend to use the GUID in all the commands.
Yes. And there are even some settings in here that are not exposed through the GUI, too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I know, like, my machine back at my desk, like, I wanted the lock screen. Because typically when you go to the lock screen, the monitor will power off after 60 seconds or mm-hmm. something like that. And I wanted that a little bit longer just because I liked my lock screen picture.
Yeah.
So I set it to 5 minutes or something. You can do that through here.
Yeah.
But you can't do that through the GUI.
I took my phone out of my pocket, so this didn't occur.
Now your phone's ringing.
My phone's ringing over there because I didn't mute it.
Far away. So that will go quiet in a moment. So right. So you can go in and you can set things. You can change settings. And you know, I don't know if we want to dive too much into that, but know that you can do it. Right. You can modify schemes, you can duplicate, set up custom schemes, you can do anything you want. Wow, your phone just will not stop.
I think it rang twice.
This is a really professional production we've got going
yeah.
here. You can import and export your power schemes to files also if you want to like move it over to another PC. You have it set up just how you want, maybe.
That's cool.
Pretty cool, right?
Maybe you got it while you like it and you're about to blad it back to factory defaults and then
yeah.
or something. You know.
But there's other things unrelated directly to those power schemes that you can do too. So, for example, power scheme, you can do this available sleep states. And this just gives you a list of here's all the capabilities of this computer. Now, I think on most computers they're going to be maybe relatively similar here. This is a traditional sort of S3 type system. You're going to see something different here if you run this on a system that supports modern standby or connect, what we used to call connected standby, but now we've generalized to modern standby.
Yeah.
That would and that's your S0 low power idle is you can see my system here does not support that.
So if you could bring a command prompt up on a phone, you'd obviously see a lot of these things light up.
Yeah, or if you run this on like a tablet or
a
Surface Pro, I believe, supports
yep.
connected standby. So you'll see some different things there. You know, another cool feature is...
This actually explains why sometimes when you want to... Sorry, in how you say when you press the buttons, mm-hmm. what do you want to do?
Yes.
And a lot of time I want, if I press the button on the on here, I want hibernate because
yes.
I know I'm going to turn it off and I don't want to drain that little bit of memory, a bit of power for sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But hibernate means that I stay where I was.
Yes.
And sometimes you look in that list and you go, why isn't hibernate in the list? And this will give you the reason. It's like, it's not supported. And actually, I want it on this X1, which is what you have.
Yes.
Which explains exactly why I don't have it.
Why it's not supported?
Yeah.
Well, you also have the switch here, powerconfig/hibernate. Whoops. And you can turn it on and off in here. So you may need to turn it on.
I wonder if the BIOS still needs it. So try it.
Yeah,
stay on and see what happens.
Let's see. So you've got the same machine.
Yeah.
Hibernate on.
So maybe it was a preference that.
There it goes.
So down to the sleep. Yeah. And that's it.
Now it supports it.
I know what I'm going to do right now.
There you go. So you got to turn that on.
I'm going to do it
right now. We've just solved a problem that Andrew had. Very cool. So one of the other things here that I wanted to mention as well is you can also list all the devices that are capable of waking the system. Oops. And again, I have to actually... So this is kind of cool. So you can get an idea, like on this thing, you know, these are the different devices attached to my system that are capable of waking the machine from sleep. Sometimes people wonder, like, why did my machine even wake up from sleep? It just came on, sort of, they don't know why. Maybe, you know, somebody touches the mouse or something and the thing wakes up. You can turn that on and off through here. So, in fact, wake, one of the options here, if I go back here, device enable wake and device disable wake. So once you figure out which devices are capable of waking the system, you can enable and disable them. So, you know, you're always hitting your mouse, bumping it, thing comes up, you don't want that, you disable the mouse from waking
the system. Wake on LAN is one of the ones that maybe is in that list where if someone pings the machine, it wakes it up and you go, no.
I don't want that.
Don't do that.
Exactly. So
while you're there, so it looks like there's mulling wake commands. So last wake and wake timers.
Yeah, so this is another thing we get asked. You know, this is like a common question you always see pop up on like forums is, how do I know why my system woke up? Because it just wakes up. I don't know how. I don't know why. Well, this will tell you. powerconfig/last wake. And you can see on my machine here, the last device that woke the system was the ACPI lid. Basically, my laptop was closed. I opened it, the lid device.
Fired an event,
and that tells the system to wake up. So you'll see other things there. If it's woken from a timer, if it's woken from, you know, a LAN type of thing, you'll see why it woke up. Or from a device like a mouse or keyboard or something.
Yeah, I think from a timer point of view, an example might be Windows Update. I think Windows Update schedules for the PC to be woken up at 2 or 3 in the morning, wherever it is, and then do its thing and then shut it down again. Yeah. But I know that a very good example, yes, it's old, but is Windows Media Center.
So
It will know that the TV show is scheduled at 8 p.m. It's going to start recording at 7:55 because you've got that 5-minute buffer on the front.
Yep.
So it will wake the PC at like maybe 7:52 to give it a couple of minutes of you know, boot time.
Exactly.
And then after the TV show is finished, it will go back to the previous state. So that's all wake timers.
Exactly, and that's implemented in the ACPI BIOS. There's a wake timer that can be configured.
And I think, I don't know if it's wake timers, but it's semi-equivalent to a reboot. When you reboot your machine, you actually set a timer in the ACPI to say, after the machine shut down, wait 5 seconds and then turn it on again. Mm-hmm. And that's actually how a reboot works. You are scheduling a very transitive timer. Hmm. Now, I don't know if it's a wake timer rather than a power timer, like more of a operating system thing, but it's roughly the same concept.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what the implementation is there, but you may be right. There is a way to enumerate wake timers, by the way, right here. I don't have any on this system, but if I were to actually set a wake timer and say, you know, go to sleep, but wake up at 3 a.m., you would see that listed here. Another thing that we can quickly go over is this requests. powerconfig/requests. Now, this is sort of the opposite. This is not, I want to wake up the system. This is, I want to prevent the system from going to sleep, right? And the idea here, I have none of these set right now, but what these are is, say you're watching a movie and you don't want your system to just doze to sleep in 30 minutes or whatever because you haven't touched the keyboard or mouse. So what happens is, your media player or your, you know, whatever app,
graphics driver or something,
is going to set a is going to make a power request and say, I need the display, I need the system, and that way, you know, as long as that video is playing, that request is active. So we can actually demo that. If I go to, let's say, start up, do I still have it open here? So here's a, you know, last week's episode of Defrag Tools, and start playing that. And while that's playing, I'm going to go run this command again, and you'll see the display and the system are requested.
And you can even see in the ownership, so you can see that the process is the person who owns the display request and also one of the system requests, and then the driver itself is also at an audio level. So it seems that the GPU hasn't done it though. So the GPU hasn't added
Well, it's
I'm saying the driver level.
Yeah. So there's a display, and then So essentially, here the system and the display are requested. So as long as that video is playing, my system is not going to go to sleep unless it's like a critical power event. I think those will override it. If you're down to 5% battery, we're going down anyway, right? But it's not just going to doze to sleep as long as that video is playing. Mm-hmm. Now you can override these too. Power config has a there's this slash requests override, and you can set a power request override for a particular process, service, or driver. So they give an example here of Windows Media Player, and you can say, oh, I want, even if I am playing a movie or something in Windows Media Player, I still want the system to be able to doze to sleep. You can set that by this command line here, right? So
you might find that there's some noisy application that really doesn't justify it, and it's probably the easiest way to work around it.
Yeah, I mean, Windows Media Player is kind of a contrived example because probably you don't want that. But there are, you know, maybe you've got some other app on your system that's making a request that's preventing your system from going to sleep, and it really shouldn't, right? Yeah. This is how you can get around that problem.
Yeah.
Cool. So, A couple other things. PowerCFG / battery report is very cool.
Yeah, I think we may have mentioned this? It like 100 episodes ago for seconds.
Yeah, we may have talked about that,
but I don't think we did it in any detail or in any context.
Yeah, I mean it's pretty self-explanatory if you look at it. You run it; it generates this HTML file, which you pop open. And it tells you all kinds of cool stuff, like, you know, what kind of battery you've got in your machine, what the design capacity. So I've got a lithium, I don't know what LIP is, lithium something battery.
Potential.
I'm not a battery guy, but yeah, you know, 46,000 milliwatt, 46 watt hours, I guess is what it is.
Yeah, watt hours,
In milliwatt hours. And this is interesting too, because you can kind of see what condition your battery's in. So this battery is designed to be 46,000 milliwatt hours, but it's currently down to 39 because after so many charge cycles, they kind of start to lose their ability.
Now batteries tend to have firmware on them, and that's where the charge count and stuff like that comes from. So maybe this one doesn't have the...
Yeah, I don't know why that cycle counts blank. I've seen that populated in other on other machines.
Yeah, it tends to be in the firmware of the actual battery itself. Batteries aren't just a battery. They actually use another computer in batteries.
Yeah.
That's what controls the charging and stuff.
Microcontroller. And you can see, like in my previous... And this is interesting because you can kind of even see
You haven't changed over time. You're 100% of both the same number, but which is good. You haven't degraded in the last 2 days.
Yeah, it has an extra drop, but you can see like the recent history, and there's even a little chart here, so you can see like over the last couple of days. Obviously, I didn't use this machine on the 5th. On the 6th, I used it and ran the battery down from 80 to 30 something, and then again for a short time there, and then charged it up, used it again today. So, pretty cool. And you can get a good feel for, you know, the usage history, the battery. Here's what I was looking for, the battery capacity. Okay. So you can actually see that's from back in January, my full charge capacity was 39,600. And now it's down to 39,320 just because batteries over time do degrade.
So 3 months, you've lost 300 milliwatts. You've lost less than 1%.
Yeah.
No. Less than 0.1%.
Yeah, not too bad.
You're good. You're tracking okay.
My battery's doing okay. If I used it really heavily, it might degrade faster than that. You get some battery life estimates, here.
So how many hours you can hold the device on?
Yeah, current estimate of battery life. So this is where we calculate that from when you actually go hover over the battery icon and it gives you that estimate of how much time you've got left before it's basing it on this history here.
Yeah. That should be interesting. I'm going to run it on mine as a comparison. Are you running as administrator? Do you have to be elevated?
I believe you do. You certainly do to be able to set some of those, like to make changes to some of the battery, the power profiles and things. I'm not sure if you have to be elevated to get all these. I am running elevated, but.
So we have the same machine. Mm-hmm. And on mine, I know you can't see on the screen. Quick scroll down. Ew.
Not so good.
Mine's 36.510.
Okay.
So actually, no, I'm a bit better than yours. Yeah, I think it was 36.300. So yeah,
I've got. Yours is a little.
But
a little better condition.
But it says since the OS was installed, I only get 2 hours 18 on my box.
No.
So I've got some processors that are chewing a battery.
Well, one way you can find that, now one very detailed way you can find out what's using your battery is like we did a couple of weeks ago with Jorge with the SRUMUtil energy estimation engine. But you can also, there's this slash energy. And I'm not going to do it right now because it runs for like a minute. But if you run powercfg/energy, it basically starts up a trace and just runs for a minute and then generates a report. Yeah. So I did it the other day, and it generates something called energyreport.html. And what you can see here is it ran this trace for like 60 seconds. So this is sort of a lighter weight version of that E3 thing that we were going into detail on. But if you just want a quick summary. And during that minute, well, it calls out a few things here. One of the things was there was a request made to prevent the machine from entering sleep. So that's one of those slash requests.
So that's System Center Configuration Manager.
Yep. So this is because my machine's on the Microsoft corporate domain. Yeah. It's got all these scripts and things that are pushed down that run. And that's what was actually happening here. I had opened it up and I was playing around and I ran this. And it's going, oh my gosh, your CPU utilization was at 45% and all these things were running and your battery's going to go, you know, you're going to die pretty quick at this rate, right? Yeah. And then it goes into all this detail. And it warns you things like my display timeout I set to 10 minutes, which I had gone and changed and things like that. But then it dives in here to all the processes, and you can see my antivirus was in the middle of a scan and it was doing
stuff. That's good that it gives you CPU and disk. So you know, oh, these are the files that are quite hot. It cost me a lot of battery. Yeah.
Right. And if you scroll down in here, you see service hosts. And this is all related basically to that CCM exec, and it was running some scripts. Mm. So you'll see like WMI stuff running, and you'll see.
The stacks are good.
Yeah.
It's an interesting pivot on it. It's like, is this. Because when it comes to things like an SVC host, we're like, well, it's got like, which host is it, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully these top few frames will give you a clue as to what proportion of that, it's the Windows update area rather than the proxy server or something,
And you can see what it was doing. It was launching PowerShell after PowerShell, running all these different scripts.
It's all CLI-based because it's all .NET inside PowerShell.
Yeah. So, you know, you can kind of get a feel. The idea, I think, is you're supposed to run that slash energy when your system is essentially idle and see. And then if there is sort of hidden background stuff that's sort of using up more battery than it should, then you'll see it here. So it's a little lighter weight way. You know, the E3 thing that we showed 2 weeks ago is a much more granular and much more sophisticated way. But this is a good way to just run for a minute and get a good report. Mm. So, and this has been around, I think, longer too. This has been around since Windows 7 or something, and E3 is much newer.
Yeah, definitely newer.
Yeah. So let's we'll just close that. So, a lot of cool stuff. PowerCFG, there's a lot of detail you could go into here. As you can see, there's so many switches. But I think it's kind of cool just to get a feel for what's in there, and you can go play around. The other one here, Sleep Study, is not going to run on my machine. This is designed for modern standby systems like the Surface Pro. So I can't really demonstrate that because, as I said, this is an older sort of S3 type legacy.
It's definitely one of those tools that has a lot of power to it, lots of good facets can be used. As you said, it's a bit of a collect-them-all type thing, but it deservedly belongs in this one XE, even though there's multiple facets to it.
Yeah, they're all related to power management, right? Yeah. I mean, it's all under the same roof. It just does a lot of different things.
Yeah, definitely cool. Very cool. And it has been around for a while. I know CFG's been, it was definitely Windows 7.
Yeah, maybe even Vista, I can't remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been there. They keep adding new features, like this SRUMUtil is newer, but I think that's a Windows 10 thing, but yeah, it's pretty cool, and you know there's some neat things there. Again, it's like, why is my system waking up? Why is my system not going to sleep? You know, it can help you answer questions
like
that.
And what's noisy right now?
And what's noisy? Why is my battery, you know, dying quickly? You know, so that's cool. And then, you know.
And there's obvious things that just from a high level of tips and tricks. Dimming your screen. Having the screen at 100%. Some more photons coming out, more energy being drained.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Most of the time you can bring it down to 50% and you wouldn't even know the difference. And I actually run mine. You can also use the adaptive light thing. So if you're in dark, it will use even less.
Yep.
So that can help you a bit too.
But. Yeah. A lot of cool stuff.
Awesome. So good choice.
Yeah. Power CFG. Very, very useful tool.
Cool.
Yes. Right
on. Well, I hope to be here a bit more often.
I hope so too. So. We'll do some more stuff. Maybe we'll get out of the studio more now that spring is on the way.
Yeah, and do some touring.
Get some
Microsoft internals rather than
campus tour stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as always, send us your comments and questions below in the show notes. We'll think about it down the bottom. Send us emails to defragtools@microsoft.com. And yeah, send us ideas for what shows you want to see in the future. We're kind of open to new topics at the moment. And we'll see you next time on Defrag Tools.
Thanks for watching.
See ya.